to begin. Forget any troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Off Stage and On the Air, performance number 852. My name, as it is on Thanksgiving, is Lisa Sheps. I am joined by my guest co-host, Mr. Justin Garrett Smith.
Hello. Thank you, Lisa.
And we have apprentice Sammy here.
Hello. Hi. Good to see you.
You're listening to all of us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live around the world at KOOP.org. Skip the H.
Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
Thank your eyes for seeing pop.
It is Wednesday, November 26th. 2025. On the show today, we have Crown Theatre and Scottish Rite and their show, Laura Stone and the Lost Relics of St. Nick. And later on, we'll be talking to Austin Playhouse and their world premiere of Peril in the Alps. And of course, we'll have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, Chicago, New York, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Salt Lake City, and Memphis, Tennessee. Don't go away. We're just all over the country today.
Absolutely.
Hello, Justin.
How are you?
Welcome. This is your first time to co-host with me.
This is my first time to co-host.
Justin Garrett Smith, tell people who you are.
I am Justin Garrett Smith. I am originally from Memphis, Tennessee.
Are you?
I am.
I did not know that.
Oh, I thought
when I mentioned it.
I thought that was a reference.
That was what we call it in the business, a quinky dink. Is that it? No, you're done?
I'm done. Well, what?
You're an actor, aren't you?
I am an actor. I'm a musician in town.
You're a musician.
I am.
This is new news as well. What do you play?
I'm a bass player and a songwriter in town.
Well, I knew you were bass, but I didn't know you were a bass player.
Well, hello.
Welcome. And we have apprentice here, Sammy.
Hello.
Hi, welcome.
Hey, good to be here.
What's the skinny with you? You're apprenticing here. You're going to want to do a show here. What are you looking? What kind of show are you looking to do on co-op?
I'm thinking about doing a show. I'm mostly just wanting to help pick up other stuff in the meanwhile. If anyone can't make it to a show, I want to be there to assist. But I've also been thinking about just doing a show all over the map, getting every genre I can. I'm really hoping to be here to open up my ears to different genres and new music.
Excellent. When you say go all over the map, you be careful because that's the territory of Kim Simpson, an international folk bazaar, and he will beat you up.
Oh, boy.
I'm teasing. I should say at this point that another wonderful job by Kim Simpson and International Folk Bazaar. We really enjoyed it. What was I going to ask you? Oh, yeah. So I should tell folks, if you didn't know, that we have an apprenticeship program here where people, volunteers, can come in and learn how to use all this wonderful equipment that we have. So, and Sammy is in the process, and he already knows everything really there is to know.
Yeah, I'm doing my best.
Excellent. Well, let's introduce our guests that are sitting in here with us. We are fortunate enough to have in here Tyler Rouse. Hi, Tyler.
Hello, hello.
And just walking into the studio, Amy Miner. Hi, Amy.
Hi.
Is it just you, or are we expecting the other half?
We're expecting the other half.
Okay. And that's Toby Miner, for those of you who know. Welcome to the show. We're just getting started. So I played the song. Did y'all recognize that song that I played coming in?
I did not.
Yeah, well, it's surprising because it's from a very popular musical called Maggie Flynn.
I haven't heard of it.
Yeah, it's not very popular.
Yeah.
That was a trick. Hold on. Oh my God, I have such problems with this iPad. It was a musical in 1968 with a book by Morton DeCosta and music and lyrics by Hugo Peretti, Luigi Criatore, and George Davis Weiss. Two Italians and a Jew walk into a bar. Sorry, I just went there. Anyway, I don't know that it did very well. It was based on the New York draft riots. But I did that because it is Thanksgiving, and this was a song about giving thanks.
That's cool.
Nice. All right, well, okay. Everybody, well, let's just jump right into it, shall we? We had a Broadway opening this week. And this was one I'm surprised I didn't know about. Tyler, I'm guessing you knew all about this show called Two Strangers Carry a Cake Across New York.
I did not.
Anybody? Anybody know about this?
No, but I like that title.
Yeah. Well, it's actually, it's Two Strangers, and in parentheses, Carry a Cake Across New York.
Tough job.
Yeah, I was unaware of it until it opened, which is crazy. And if Nicole were here, and probably she's listening right now yelling at the radio, we talked about it, because I always forget about what we talk about. The Did They Like It review aggregator had 13 reviews. 6 were positive, 2 were negative, and 5 were middle in the road. The negatives were from Theater Mania and The Wrap, and there was a whole bunch of positive, one of which was the newspaper of record, the New York Times. This review was written by Laura Collins Hughes, and she liked it. So let me tell you what this is about. It's a two-hander. Do y'all know what that means?
Two people.
Two-person show?
Yeah, I know. Wait, you say that like as a question. Of course you knew what it meant. We're in the business.
That's four.
Yeah, it's a two-person show, which is, it seems like lovely and sweet show. So it says, hold on, I need to adjust my glasses so I can read this. An original new musical comedy about timing, connections, and unexpected detours. Meet Dougal, an impossibly upbeat Brit who has just landed in New York City for his first time to attend the wedding of the father he's never met. Meet Robin, my sister's name, by the way, the sister of the bride and the no-nonsense New Yorker with a lot of errands to do for the bride, including picking up the groom's estranged son from the airport. These two strangers begin their journey together, navigating New York City secrets and second chances. It is a rom-com.
I like the name Dougal.
I do too.
Yeah.
This is a transfer from the West End. And the man that plays Dougal's name is Sam Tuddy. And this is a picture of the two of them.
Very cute.
Yeah, I'm showing it to the studio audience, and now I'll show it to everybody on the radio. Okay, I just put my iPad up to the microphone. So he was in it, not from the very beginning, but he was in it from West End, and he came over here. And the woman is a woman named Christiani Pitts. Everybody loved both of them. He's just charming. And I will say, there's a YouTube video of one of the numbers called New York, and we're going to play a piece of it when we go out, which is just charming. Mm. He's charming. I'm in love with him.
Mm. Have you listened to the whole show?
No.
Oh.
I literally did not know it existed until today. The whole show is available. I don't think it is available as a purchase, but you can see it on their website, which I saw. So it is directed by dun 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 dun, dun. Where'd it go? I lost it. I forgot his name. It's in here somewhere. Oh, Tim Jackson. Everybody knows him, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
You do? Tell me about him, because I know I've never heard of him.
Just kidding.
I knew you were. Anyway, it opened on Thursday at the Long Acre Theater, and he said it. Laura Collins Hughes said it is the most charming, simple show on Broadway right now, and it's a debut for its authors Jim Barn and Kit Buckman, and also the Broadway premiere. No, that's not the right word.
Debut.
Thank you. Of Sam Tuddy. This happens when you get to be my age.
Lisa, how did it do on the West End? Do you know?
It did well.
Great.
It did well. Let's see if there are any awards that it was up for. It doesn't say.
Best
but
names.
It opened on the West End in 2024, but it started in Ipswich in Northampton in 2019. And then it had a run in Cambridge at ART. In 2025 with this cast, I believe, and then opened on Broadway last Thursday. No, Cambridge did have Chris, I'm going to try to pronounce this right. Christiani Pitt. That's not hard. Christiani. I don't know why y'all thought that was so hard.
So
let's see what else this critic had to say. The show's title notwithstanding, cake transport is not the main task of their time together. It is, however, the task that allows them to bond. She also says, as gleefully as the musical follows the formula of rom-com genre, it also has a welcome comfort with ambiguity and, stashed up its sleeve, some psychological bombs. I would like to take this moment to stop and welcome Mr. Toby Miner to the crew.
Hello.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you.
You're late.
Traffic is fun.
And kids.
Really, in Austin.
Yeah, I know.
That's odd. There's not usually traffic here.
Yeah. Anyway. Thanksgiving.
So that's it. So that is good. Some other critics said, Tim Tiemann of the Daily Beast said, Two Strangers is funny in places, occasionally moving in others, and just a little off feeling throughout. The Rap's Robert Hoffler says, a real star, Tutty exudes a thoroughly engaging, puckish charm. And I will say I agree with that based on a little YouTube I saw. Toby, we're talking about the new Broadway show that opened called Two Strangers Carry a Cake Across New York. Had you ever heard of it?
I have not.
Me either. But it looks charming and I want to see it.
It's giving me last 5 years vibes, just like
a little bit. Maybe a little bit better than last 5 years. Sorry. If the video were playing, you would see the face I had. And I even produced that. I directed that show. Not my favorite. But I hear that Jason Robert Brown has got some other stuff going on that's pretty cool. Like, whatever. Parade. So I'd be remiss without talking about this. Does everybody know what happened last Friday? It was pretty big.
No.
Huge. Probably the biggest news in the country.
Oof.
Oh,
I should say before we talk about this, the opinions expressed on Offstage and on the Air are not necessarily those of Co-op, its board of directors, volunteers, underwriters, or staff. It's only my crazy opinion. Friday, big news, real big news. Wicked opened in the theater. Wicked for Good opened in the theater.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you get that bait and switch there?
Yes.
Good.
Anybody see it yet?
Yes.
No.
Yes, one have. Person.
You
yes.
saw it?
I did. I did on the second day.
Second day. I wanted to, but I'm in the middle of producing a show, and so are you.
I know.
Right?
I got
How
away.
How did you find time?
I very, very sneakily.
So what'd you think?
You know.
No spoilers.
No spoilers. I do think that first movie was a lot more dynamic. It kind of hit the musical right on the nose. Which I enjoyed. The second one, I think, took a little bit more, more
added
creative liberties.
Two new songs.
He did. So, you know, I think that the first movie was definitely a little bit better structured.
Really? Okay.
Yes, yeah. But I do like how the second one ended in kind of little, you
Don't
know.
Tell us.
I'm yeah. not. No, well, just little Easter eggs.
One should, but the one we can say spoilers, but you know, if you haven't seen, if you're in the theater community and you haven't seen Wicked, Sammy, have you seen Wicked?
Not recently.
He said no, he's not near a microphone. Not recently.
I saw the musical, the original.
That's what we're talking about. He saw the original musical, which is what we're talking about. So,
right.
If you haven't seen Wicked or read the book, thank you very much.
Oh,
which is a great
book.
Yes.
So, I was a fan of the books long before it ever happened, and he's writing another one about Galinda.
Oh,
I read that this morning. Yeah. Yes.
But my favorite of his, and I've said this on the show before, is Confessions of an Ugly Stepsister.
Yes.
Oh,
that's
yes.
my
oh, yes.
absolute
yes.
favorite.
Agreed.
But I'm looking forward to seeing Wicked. I as soon as Parade opens, I'm going to be the first one in the theater. And so there. Speaking of Stephen Schwartz. And we've talked about Queen of Versailles on this show. And of course, I think last week or 2 weeks ago, we talked about its opening and the reviews were not as good as we were hoping. And of course, Queen of Versailles, there is a big local connection in that oh my God, forgot his name.
Hunter?
Yes. Hunter Regan is one of the lead producers. And we also, Justin and I, also got the chance to work with Lindsay Fiorentino, the book writer, on Amy and the Orphans.
Yes.
Here in town. And so I feel sad that it didn't pan out quite the way they had hoped it would.
Right.
And I also feel bad for the amount of work that has been lost by artists in New York. Yeah. Oh, I didn't mention, we just said Queen of Versailles. The reason why we mentioned it is it did post its closing notice. It's going to close on January 4th. It opened on November 9th after a month of previews starting in October 8th.
Whoa.
It cost $22.5 million to capitalize the show.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yikes. That's almost as much as I spend on a show at Ground.
Yeah.
Queen of Versailles.
Yeah. Yeah, it's getting close. But that's sad news. It's always sad when shows close.
Mm.
Yeah, when she came for Amy and the Orphans, it was very exciting because it was about to open. The vibes were high.
Yep. And Hunter Regan was here, and the whole crew of Queen of Versailles people came to see the show.
Right.
Notably missing was Kristen Chenoweth.
Oh. Yeah, yeah.
She didn't come.
That would have been cool.
But she did call. She didn't really. I made that part
up. She left a voicemail.
So, best wishes on whatever the next things that they do is. I mention this mainly because this is an enigma to me, as we talked about on the show the other day. But it is not an enigma to most other people. And since I have a whole crew of new people that weren't with us when we talked about this, and most importantly, Nicole is not here to yell at me. Nicole scares me. Paddington the Musical. Do we all know that this exists? Okay.
Yes.
So those of you watching the video saw Tyler very excitedly thumbs up. Who's excited about this besides Tyler? Yep. You know, thumbs and all these little motions y'all are doing just do not work on the radio.
Oh, sorry. Yes. I am also, I was giving a thumbs up.
You're excited.
I like it. Yeah.
I'm in the middle. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know how it's structured or, you know, I haven't even really listened to the music, but I just think the idea is pretty neat.
It looks cute. And Paddington is operated by two people, right. One person off stage and one people in the costume. One people.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just not a big Paddington fan. I don't know. I mean, I saw the first movie and
it didn't make you a Paddington fan?
No. I mean, he's cute. How can you not think he's cute? But
I will say I did see a little video of somebody interviewing
I saw the same one.
And for what it is, animatronics and movement stuff, it looks cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a BBC interview, and that interview is supposedly amazing.
But I don't know how much more that's going to translate into the rest of the show.
Mm. Oh, sure.
Well, the good news is for those of you that got excited, they did announce that there will be a cast album.
Good. I can listen to it.
It will be released by Decca Records in March of 2026.
Ooh.
So set your... That's not all that far away.
No, it's not.
Put it on the calendar.
Actually, it sounded far away, but folks, this year
Stop.
Is over in
Stop.
35 days.
No.
Goodness.
No. What the double H-E hockey sticks is going on here?
We made it through 2025.
Okay. All right.
Almost.
Jinx us. 35 days.
Right. Thanks, Tyler.
Yep. Once again, we're running out of time. Couple of things that I just want to talk about. We heard about Lin-Manuel Miranda and his concept album of the Warriors.
Yes.
No.
Oh, how do we feel about that?
Very excited.
What? Very excited. Poor yes. Kay. Why?
I love the Warriors. It's one of my favorite movies that I grew up with.
You're too young for the Warriors.
It rules. I think turning something like that into a musical is rad. I also love the concept album approach beforehand. I think the whole thing's cool.
Well, when the movie came out, I had just recently moved to New York, and my roommate was in. He was a featured extra, and he was part of the Warriors gang.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyway, they have moved from concept album, which they did, to casting.
Wow. That's
they are officially moving forward with casting. They're going to do a 2026 developmental workshop. I don't know what this initial is, NYC. Anybody know what that means?
I'm not sure.
Anyway, it's there. The director is someone named Jenny Koons, and the choreographer, Andy Blankenbuehler, and the music director is Kurt Crowley. I don't know Kurt Crowley. Do you know Kurt Crowley?
I do not.
Tyler?
I do not, but this is brand new news to
me. I'm surprised it wasn't, what's his name, from who did the music from, what's that little show?
Hamilton.
Oh.
Hamilton, yes.
Lin-Manuel.
No, the music director. Anyway. Almost, it's at the tip of this little tongue right there. All right. The last thing. Oh, no, I need to talk about two more things. There's an article in the New York Times, if y'all have heard of the New York Times. The title sort of caught my interest. 5 minutes that will make you love musicals.
I'm convinced.
Yeah. Okay. And I think that would be preaching to the choir here. Sammy, do you like musicals? Okay. He did a little comme ci, comme ça sign. He said more or less. Yeah. He's yeah. I won't let him on the mic if he's not up. Anyway, they went over to 13 people through in the industry and in the media and asked them what one song would turn you into a musical theater level. I will just go through a few here. There are 13 of them. Andrew Lloyd Webber liked Some Enchanted Evening from South Pacific. And then there's a whole quote about why they chose these. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Jason Robert Brown, he said about this song, a good musical theater song is superficially the same as a good pop song, but a great musical theater song pulses with a different kind of life. In a great musical theater song, all the elements, the music, the lyrics, the orchestrations, the performance, operate together to pull you deeper into the story. And he chose Night Song from Golden Boy, which was from 19-something. Wait, I can tell you because I have it right here. It's a Charles Strauss musical from 1964 on Broadway and then 1968 in the West End. And the person singing that song is Sammy Davis Jr.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Yeah. And we will play that when we go out today so folks can hear it. But that's good. It's about, he's a boxer. If people were watching the video, they could see me boxing. So that's that. And the final thing I want to talk about as quickly as we can is this musical theater archives. And it's not what you're thinking. What were you thinking?
That it was archives of musical theater.
It is, but it's not the one at the library. There's another one, evidently. The Institute of American Musical Releases Decade of Unprecedented Broadway Footage. And this is called the Institute of the American Musical. And it's going to release a whole bunch of videos of these shows that happened between 1931 and 1973. It starts with Ziegfeld's Follies of 1931, and the last one chronologically is A Little Night Music in 1973. And this is these were filmed on 16mm film. Release Company, Follies, Pippin, I Can Get It For You Wholesale, which I think is a show Ground Floor Theater should do. I'm just saying. I should talk to somebody about that. Funny Girl,
yes.
MAME, 1776, Guys and Dolls, Fiorello, Sound of Music, and a lot more. So that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
And I think about this because, Justin, you and I, when I talked about the show I did in 1981, which I had not seen anything because we didn't have video, I hadn't seen anything since 1981. Justin looked it up on YouTube and found an interview with some clips from the newspaper. And then we both looked it up simultaneously. And it has been released in
the
New York Library. And it's available on YouTube. And I watched the whole show. So if you want to see me on Broadway, Google Oh Brother. And you won't see me per se, but you'll see me as the camel's rear end in the opening scene. So that's that. We're going to take a little break. As promised, we're going to hear from two strangers carrying a cake across New York. This is New York. We will be right back.
Is the capital a city of the USA?
It's not.
The city.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Leeson and Justin and Sammy. And our guests, we're going to reintroduce for the real reason why they're here, which is to talk about their show, which is called, as I turn the page, Laura Stone and the Lost Relics of St. Nick. We have the writer of the music, Tyler Rouse.
Hello, hi. Hello.
Did you do music and lyrics?
No, just some music.
Just music. Okay.
Clifford Butler did the lyrics.
Well, and he's not here, playwright. So I don't care.
No.
And two of the performers from the show, Toby Miner.
Hello, hello.
And Amy Miner.
Hello.
No relation. Well, maybe relation. And you are also all founders of Crown Theater, correct?
Yes, correct.
Yep.
Yeah, great. Well, thanks for being on the show. We'll see you later.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Thanks.
So this is a co-production with Scottish Rite Theater and Crown Theater. But as I look at the cast list and some of the things, it seems very Crown Theater-y to me.
Yes, very much so. One of our tenets of Crown Theater is to create original works every year. So every year we've done, for the last 6 years, we've done an original Christmas show that's been written by a local playwright that we find. And they take the year with Tyler and write an entire musical in a year, which is a lot.
That is a lot.
That's oh, yeah.
And
so I got the feeling that the concerts were more, the Christmas concerts were cabaret-ish, but no, they're book musicals?
They're full yes. musicals.
Oh, amazing.
We also do cabarets, Valentine's and Halloween.
Wow.
Yeah, and those are just to do kind of round up the season. Then yep. we do, Crown also does summer camps for kids down in Hays County for underserved schools and kids that we have a lot of scholarships and right. stuff to do.
Because your mission is to serve the South.
As much as we possibly can,
yeah.
yes.
Yeah.
But then the opportunity came up this year. Because we're always looking for a space. We don't have a space, so we're always looking. And Scottish Rite said, hey, come play with us. So we said, yes, please.
They're yeah. so amazing. It's been so great collaborating with them. Oh, my gosh.
So the Scottish Rite is known for doing theater for families and young audiences. Is Laura Stone a theater for young audiences show?
Absolutely. It's yep. a show for everybody. It's a basically Indiana Jones and Laura Croft meet Santa in a musical. So nice. There's singing, there's dancing, there's
if
fights.
If I had a nickel.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
There's a couple of songs and a couple of scenes that get a little bit, a little silly for the adults to get some jokes. But sure. for the most part, it's a Christmas show for the family.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful. Tyler, what was your impetus for writing this? Was it just, I need a musical a little while from now, and this is what I'm going to write? Or what drove you all to write this?
Yeah, that's an interesting question.
I'm filled with interesting questions.
Absolutely. You know, last year, Amy and Toby approached Clifford and I talking about, you know, what an idea could be for a musical. And they said, we're wanting a Christmas action-adventure musical. And Cliff and I looked at each other and said, what on earth? How can we do such a thing? Now, what was really cool is that we actually took the time to dive in and do some true historical research. So throughout the musical, there are actual historical facts about...
Sure. For instance, nobody ever has recorded Santa Claus saying ho, ho, ho.
No, never.
It's not been done, so we don't know.
No.
It's all assumption.
You know, hard-hitting journalism here.
But, you know, there were actual relics that were apparently kept from St. Nick whenever he was alive. And they
kept from him?
Or
he kept.
That, well, that
were kept after he was gone.
You got yes. that right.
The
yes.
last
wow,
yes.
That was hard.
They wouldn't let him have them.
That is interesting.
But, you know, and they actually did go missing. Still to this day, we don't actually know what happened to them. And so this is kind of what the musical is meant.
Could you tell us what one of the relics are?
You will... A finger bone. A bone?
A bone of a finger.
Of
yes.
his finger.
Of St. Nick's
from St. Nick.
Finger.
Does it have, if it touches something, does it turn anything into anything?
You know, you may have to see the musical to find out.
Is it still attached to the rest of his body?
Nope, no, just the finger bone.
He just lost his finger.
Well, that's incredible. Amy, who are you playing in this piece?
I'm playing Laura Stone.
You're playing Laura Stone? That's mm-hmm. the titular character.
Yes, it is.
I just wanted to say that word. Well, so tell us about Laura Stone. What's her story?
She's kind of a female Indiana Jones okay. character.
Do you wear the hat? Carry
I have
a whip?
The hat. I don't have a whip. I have collie Good. Sticks.
Holly sticks?
Screamo sticks, yeah.
Are those the nunchucks?
No, it's two sticks.
Nightwing.
So. Oh, okay.
Yeah, like Nightwing, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let me find that. Who doesn't know Nightwing?
Apparently.
Lara Stone is very much like Indiana Jones, a professor of history, and then decides to go on an adventure to save the relics of St. Nick.
Wonderful. Yeah. And Toby, who are you playing?
I am Adrian Vanderbeerput, the villain.
Cool. Oh, you're the villain.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I guess it's no secret that you guys are married.
Right? Yeah. What?
Yes, it's true. Spoiler. So you're playing like antagonists with each other. How is it at home at night?
It's great.
Look at my face. It's so great. It's awesome.
So you're the bad guy. Are you hoarding the relics?
So I'm looking for the relics because I want to, if I get them together,
just like the German in Indiana Jones.
That's
just
right.
Like the German. Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Because
if I
get them, there's a possibility that I can get the power of Santa Claus for myself. So that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to find them, but I'm letting Lara Stone do most of the work for me. So
wow.
Yeah. Does your face melt off at the end?
We're working on that one.
Yeah.
We're working on prosthetics for that. Yeah.
So I'm guessing, Toby, I think everybody in the community knows what a wonderful fight director, intimacy director, and all that. So whenever there's, fight choreography, oftentimes your name is attached to it. Is there fighting in this show?
There is.
So much fighting.
Are you fight director as well?
I'm fight director and I'm in two of the fights.
Okay.
But yes, there's, we open the show with a giant Battle of Hastings, and there's a lot of the history stuff that goes on, and then the fights range from full-on battles to some of the fights that are just silly slapstick fights to
SSS, we call those.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, exactly. So yeah, there's lots of fights, lots of fun, lots of dancing. It's a good show.
Well, nice. Who's choreographing?
Charlie's new to town, so Charlie.
What's her last name?
And I didn't print this out. I'm so sorry.
That's all right.
Dennis, I believe, but her name, her first name is Charlie. She worked with me with the Paramount this past summer, and she was just lovely.
Yeah.
So Tyler, tell us about the music. What style is it? Are we musical comedy? Are we a pastiche? I just wanted to say that word. What are we?
You know, it's a huge mix of everything. I enjoy kind of getting just a well-rounded feel of music. Right from the get-go, Toby was talking about this big old driving opening fight sequence. It's very, very disjunct with the music, right, to keep us on the edge of our seat. So it's very interesting. Last year, whenever we wrote the musical, we were just seeing what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
Now that we know what we can do, we're pushing it and just doing what we want to do. And it's lovely.
Wonderful. Is there an orchestra or just piano? Or?
There is a small orchestra. We have an oboe, a flute, clarinet, saxophone, bass, drums, and myself.
Wow, that's a big band.
Yes, we're still
How many people in the cast?
17.
Wow.
Oy Vesemir.
Including both of our children.
Yes.
I will say this. I looked on the website and the ticket site. Nowhere did I see anything, a cast list or anything. So
we're adding that is on our list.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So I didn't see any of the team other than all there was. So, wow, 17. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is. There's
our biggest show yet.
Yeah. It's our biggest show yet. There's lots of people that are just joined. And we were so blessed that we had people that wanted to work with us. And
oh my gosh.
They were like, hey, we have the time free. Can we do more? And so, like, let's add some more. Let's add some more bad guys. So
not that there's a competition, but I do know a theater in town that's doing a musical at the same time of year. It has 19 more people than you.
Well, all right.
Oh, yeah.
Not mentioning what it is, Parade at Ground Floor Theater. that is amazing. It sounds great. Y'all are opening soon.
December 5th.
December 5th, and you play through when?
December 21st.
Yeah.
Correct.
It is a little bit of a weird schedule because the Scottish Rite was booked that second week. So we are December 5th that first week. Then we have a week off to let the other stuff do its thing. And then we come back the following week to do our second week.
And where can folks go to get information about the show?
You can go to
Scottish Rite
or crowntheater.org. Both of those will be able to link you to tickets and give information and all that stuff.
Wonderful. Well, thank you all so much for being on the show and break lots of legs.
Thank you very much. You all as well.
Thank you so much. Okay. That was Amy Miner, Toby Miner, and Tyler Rouse of Scottish Rite Theater and Crown Theater's production of Lara Stone and the Lost Relics of St. Nick, playing December 5th through 21st at the Scottish Rite. For more information, you may visit crowntheater.org, and that's spelled the correct way. or Scottish Rite Theater, spelled the incorrect way, .org. Just, you know, honoring St. Nick, this is from Elf, and it's called There Is a Santa Claus. We'll be right back. Everything I knew, and everything that you We knew, are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Justin and Sammy. That was so much fun.
That was fun. That Not sounds a, like a fun show.
We never have enough time.
Well, what would you like to say?
We just never have enough time. Oh. We're running late again.
Got
we
it.
Always run late. No, that was a lot of fun. And I'm hoping that we get just a little extra time at the end. But now we're going to talk about local stuff,
okay.
Or as I like to call it, local junk. Is there anything that sometimes I like to just highlight one thing, not without just a list, and I didn't this time. Is there anything locally other than the show that you and I are both working on that you would want to highlight?
Well, it just closed, and I didn't get a chance to see it, but I had a bunch of friends in Anthony Caesar and Cleopatra.
Yeah,
and
Anthony plus Caesar plus Cleopatra.
Right, and I heard wonderful things about it.
Yeah, me too. I should say that just for the record that we have been joined by two more people here. We have Laura Toner Haddock and Sarah Chong Dickey. Hi, you guys.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome. We're just going over our little local calendar thing. And I don't know if you know this, Justin, but we're going to switch back and forth.
Okay.
So get out your script because you have to read it. You're doing this cold. It's cold reading. All right. Here we go. I'm going to start. Zach Theater has Charlie Brown Christmas playing through December 28th.
Zach, A Christmas Carol through January 3rd.
And Broad Theater, I believe, has one more chance to see A Doctor's Visit, plays through the 26th, which is soon.
Hyde Park Theater, Austin.
It's today.
At Hyde Park Theater. Austin Playhouse, Peril in the Alps, November 21st through December 28th.
We're going to be talking to them in just a moment. Of course, Broadway in Austin is coming to town with Beauty and the Beast. It plays December 2nd through the 14th. And next week, I think next week, we will be having a interview with me and the gentleman who plays Maurice. And I've already recorded that. It's a great interview. You'll not want to miss it.
Gracklejack, the Xmasist, December 11th through the 20th at Crashbox.
And we will be talking to them, I think, also next week. And that's C.B. Goodman, and that's not to be missed. TexArts is got White Christmas, Snow, 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 playing through December 21st. And they will be on the show on December 10th.
Georgetown Palace is doing Frozen through February 1st.
East Side Performing Arts, right down the hallway from Ground Floor Theater, has a reading of Green Grow the Lilacs on November 30th. You get to say this one.
Yeah, this one I'm familiar with. Ground Floor Theater is doing Parade December 4th through December 21st.
Leela has got When the Table Turns on December 5th through the 7th at Trinity Street Theater.
City Theater is staging Tuna Christmas December 5th through December 21st.
And Penfold Theater is doing A Tuna Christmas on December 12th through the 28th.
Alchemy Theater is doing A Christmas Memory stage reading at the Central Library on December 7th.
And Inspired Minds down in Buda is doing A Christmas Carol 12 December 5th through 14th.
And finally, TexArts is doing White Christmas through December 21st.
Yeah, it's two White Christmases. Or is that the same one? No, it's the same one. I wrote it twice.
Oh.
Yeah, so nice. They named it twice. I just like White Christmas that much. Who doesn't like that? I love the movie, not crazy about the play.
I don't know the play.
You don't? Have you seen the movie?
Yes.
Then you know the play. It is almost word for word. Sammy, do you know White Christmas?
I wish I did.
Neither the movie nor the play?
Neither the movie nor
okay.
the play.
Okay. Your homework is to rent White Christmas. I like it.
I'll do my best.
Danny Kaye is just amazing.
He is.
In everything he does.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah's not convinced. If you could see the body language of Sarah when I said Danny Kaye,
get on board.
Her arms were crossed.
I haven't seen White Christmas. I'm so sorry.
Me
just bits
either.
And pieces.
What?
I know. Sorry.
You guys, this is wrong.
I'm so sorry.
I can fix this.
At least I'm not the one.
Okay, auditions. Alchemy Theater is auditioning for Robert Bridegroom on December 22nd. Ground Floor Theater has auditions for Yellowface on December 8th. I will tell you that they are filled up and we are taking wait list. Austin Shakespeare Season is auditioning on, I keep not wanting to say the month and just the number, 12-6, December 6th. This says it's produced by Frontera Fest, but I think it's probably just somebody doing something at Frontera Fest, but it's called Morris and the Road to Spirit. Those auditions are on December 13th. I got all that information from atxtheater.org. You can get details there. Now it's time for Today in Theater History. Check my watch and see what time we have. We had no openings this week, and it's getting to be that time of year where openings don't happen. But we do have some birthdays. Every single one of these people are male-identified people. So I'm guessing that by their pictures and their names. Eugene Ionesco. Anybody want to guess when Ionesco was born?
No.
I wouldn't have guessed this. 1909.
Oh.
And I actually never knew what he looked like. He looks over there. He's there on the right. I expected him to look more like Andy Warhol for some reason. For those of you who don't know, Ionesco is a playwright, writes absurdist plays. Daniel Davis, not sure who he is. Christopher Fitzgerald, Robert Goulet.
Nice.
Why are you laughing at that?
It just reminds me of the SNL sketch with Will Ferrell.
Goulet.
Okay. E. Clayton Cornelius. It's his birthday as well. Had to look him up. He's just a working actor in theater, and he's done a whole bunch of stuff. So I thought we'd play. He did a show called. I need to talk about this for just if this is what I think it is. Little Did I Know is a musical podcast that happened during the pandemic with Patrick Page and some other people of note, and as well as E. Clayton Cornelius. And this is from that. It's called Damn Sam from Little Did I Know. I'll be right back.
Yes, Sam would take the freaking trophy every year. But damn Sam, you did it again.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Justin and Sammy. How are y'all doing so far?
Doing great.
Doing wonderful.
How are you doing?
I'm not doing so good.
Oh, no.
No, I'm fine.
What can we do to make it better?
You can talk to me. Let's introduce our guest for the real reason why they're here, to talk about the show, the world premiere of Peril in the Alps.
It's not the world premiere.
Oh.
Regional premiere.
Regional
they
premiere.
They just did it.
I said world premiere with a questioning, and you nodded.
I'm really accommodating today.
Regional premiere. It is the follow-up to Golf on the Links. Murder on the Links.
Mm-hmm. Murder while golfing. On the Links.
Golf on the Links, I think, is redundant. And we have two of the primary people of Austin Playhouse and also actors in the show, Laura Tonor Haddock. You're reprising your role from Murder on the Links.
As Captain Arthur Hastings.
Yes. And Sarah Chong Dickey. Also reprising your role.
As Woman 2.
Woman 2. That was my sorority name in college. So tell us about Peril in the Alps.
So Peril in the Alps is inspired by several Agatha Christie short stories that were collected in Poirot Investigates. What Stephen Dietz did, our playwright, Murder on the Links, as you mentioned.
You own Stephen Dietz?
He's our playwright.
That's amazing.
We may lease him he's in Washington, D.C. getting a play done at the Kennedy Center now.
Oh, la la la.
So he is not solely our playwright.
I hope it doesn't have any DEI in it.
It's a theater for youth adaptation of Go Dog Go.
Oh,
it looks adorable.
Okay, we have to take a little tangent. That book, when I was in the hospital when I was like 8 or 9 years old, and all I wanted was my Go Dog Go book.
It's a bilingual adaptation of Go Dog Go.
Okay, bueno.
But so he, a couple years ago, did Murder on the Lynx, which was based on the Agatha Christie novel Murder on the Lynx. And we had a really successful production of that. And then he decided that rather than making a strict adaptation of another Agatha Christie novel, he would kind of take a lot of the characters that we met in Murder on the Lynx and throw them into another mystery. But he still wanted to bring in some of the strands from previous mysteries. So we've got kind of a double mystery going, maybe even a triple mystery. There's so many mysteries going.
A mystery, how many mysteries there are. Right.
It's a lot. But so we have, you kind of have a continuation of this previous mystery, bringing in a new one, and then also a mystery from Poirot's past comes into play.
You know, we talked about this last week. I cannot pronounce that name.
Poirot.
Yeah, it just doesn't work for me.
It's not easy.
Poirot. And speaking of that character, Ben Wolfe is coming to reprise that role
as well. And that will actually be his third time playing this character with us. We did a virtual production of The Mysterious Affair at Styles during the pandemic.
Right.
Which was the first time he played Poirot, and then in Murder on the Lynx, and now here.
Well, he's just going to get typecast as that from now on.
I love it. It was
Sounds like a lot of fun. Now, last time for Murder on the Lynx, it was directed by Stephen Dietz, who shares a name with the writer.
As previously discussed, Mr. Dietz is in Washington, D.C. right now with his production of Go Dog Go.
Who is directing this one?
So we brought in the incredible Robert Tolaro.
Friend of the pod.
We've been wanting to work with Bob for quite some time, and this seemed like a great project to bring him in.
He does a lot of work with you as a stage manager.
He does. Yeah. He does. But he's actually directed some of my all-time favorite comedies I've ever seen. He did
Dex and Abby at Ground Floor Theater.
Mm-hmm. And he did absolutely. He did a production of Midsummer Night's Dream in the Park ages ago, where he made them all comic book characters.
Batman
and Robin were Oprah. It was so much fun. And his production of The Miser recently at St. Ed's was a delight. And as you know, he's just a gem of a human.
He is a delightful human being. Just wonderful. So you got a coup getting him. So what else about the show do you want to highlight? It's that, you know, the first one was so much fun. Does it take place in the same area?
So we start in London, and then there's some peril that takes us to the Alps.
I was about to say, Alps aren't in London.
They're not, so we do have to travel.
There's a peril.
And last time my character played golf really poorly, and this time I get to ski really poorly.
Oh, okay.
That eventually we're going to stumble on a sport that Hastings does well.
But I don't think Hastings...
Keep them coming at Austin Playhouse until we find the one.
So what are some of the and I'm assuming... As per the first one, all the people other than the two main characters play lots of different roles. How many roles are you playing, Sarah? And do you have a favorite yet?
I don't know how many I'm playing. I think it's 6 or 7, maybe. The fun part for me for this one is that in Murder on the Lynx, I played a couple of characters that were twins.
Mm-hmm.
And so for my track, personally, I primarily play those twins. One is actually married to Captain Hastings, and one is in peril. We kick off the show hearing that she's been kidnapped, and so the twins are great fun. You do see both twins on stage at the same time. How? I don't know. You'll have to come see the show to find out.
It's easy. It's CGI. I know how that works.
Hologram.
But we've got Tony Knight, Bailey Ellis, and Huck Huckabee are also the ensemble cast members, and they switch back and forth much faster than I have to, I feel like, into these great, fantastic characters.
Yeah, so as Sarah mentioned, we have Tony Knight and Bailey Ellis, in addition to Sarah, and Huck Huckabee. And those four make up our ensemble that play 27 characters, I think, is the total count.
I know the total.
Mm-hmm. So it is, and Ben and I have the relatively more easy, straightforward job, right, of job being ourselves for the whole thing.
Playing one role. Exactly. Well, yeah. And, you know, a lot of these people have been with you forever. I remember seeing Huck in, I think, Jacques Brel back at the old spot, like 20 years ago, however long ago that was.
By far not the first show he'd done with
I know that. Yeah. So it's amazing. It's it's really lovely that y'all retain your players. Yeah,
we're in our 26th season now, and then have a continuity from the State Theater and Live Oak days before that.
Sure.
So a lot of these folks have been working with us forever.
Yeah. Well, that is wonderful and amazing. You've already opened, correct?
We have. We opened last Friday.
How are things going? Yeah.
Swimmingly. Yeah, swimmingly.
Well, I hope you're not flooding there in the theater.
Oh, no. We flooding only did that at Highland. That was the theater we flooded at. Three times.
Oh, good. Good for you.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so things are going well.
They are. It's relatively easy to have a good time when you're working with this group of people.
Yeah.
They are an absolute delight. This is a more, and it's a more comic take on Agatha Christie.
Yes.
I know we're being treated to a lot of Agatha Christie around this time of year. But ours is definitely in that vein of, you know, six actors playing all the roles, and it's fast paced. It's
I'm assuming it's very similar in vein to Murder on the Links.
It is. I think the mystery may be a little more complicated. As I mentioned, you're kind of tracking three different things and seeing how they fit together at the end. But the people are a delight.
Wonderful. There was something I was saying. Okay. So typically, and this is no different, you know, theater in Austin typically plays a Thursday through Sunday schedule. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow is Thursday. Do you have a show tomorrow night?
No. No, we don't even have a show on Friday because Ben Wolf is in Savannah, Georgia.
Okay.
So it would be difficult for us. So we'll be back. We'll be back on Saturday.
This week. Well, good. Well, thank y'all. So, I didn't get the information I did. When do you close?
We close on December 28th. So, we run through the whole month of December.
Where do folks go to get more information?
Our website is just a great place for information. It's austinplayhouse.com.
Great, wonderful. We'll have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
You get a break. I'm jealous. Best wishes on the run. I hope it's just dynamite.
Thanks so
and
much.
I guess
thanks
probably
so much for having us.
At this point, I'll see you next year.
No.
I know. Can you believe it? It's so sad.
34 days.
I know. It's crazy.
Wow.
Thank you. We'll see you soon. Hopefully I'll get over to see the show. I probably can. That was Laura Toner Haddock and Sarah Chong Dickey of Austin Playhouse's production of Peril in the Alps, playing through December 28th. For more information, you may visit austinplayhouse.com. And this is from The Bluff, a musical mystery comedy. It's called Suspect Number One. We'll be right back.
Well, well, well. Ain't that convenient? Ain't it a glow? Little sound.
We are back. It is the day before Thanksgiving. Justin, what are you thankful for?
I am thankful for Ground Floor Theater.
Good answer.
Yeah. It's true, though. I have had a wonderful year in theater, and Ground Floor has been a wonderful space and home.
Well, wonderful. And Sammy, what are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for the wonderful people of Co-op. I've really found a great environment here. I kind of moved down here just a few months ago. And
where did you move from?
Moved from St. Louis.
I've heard of that place. It has an arch.
It sure
you
does.
Didn't know.
More or less. But yeah, moved down here, and I was kind of looking for groups, people, friends, and I've found all of that here. So it's really been a wonderful time, and I've really been honored to be a part of such a wonderful thing.
Well, we're very happy to have you here, and I'm glad that you love Co-op as much as the rest of us. So we should just take a little moment. You are in our production of Parade.
I am.
We will have a couple of cast members on the show next week. But tell us about what role you're playing in Parade.
I play Britt Craig, the sensationalist reporter in Parade that stirs the town into a tizzy.
Yeah, he's kind of like the comic relief.
He's one of the, it's a heavy show. Britt is one of the only goofy characters.
It's true.
Yeah.
True. I can say, having seen a little bit of Justin's performance, it's Very good. Well worth seeing.
Oh, thank you very much.
All the rest of the cast, not so good, but you're really good.
You heard it here first.
No, it's good. Well, thank you so much for coming in. I know I just asked you yesterday if you'd come in and co-host.
Thank you for
having
me.
So you jumped to it. So it was really fun.
It was fun.
Thank you. And Sammy, thanks for joining. Come back and see us and sit with us again if you want to. Tracy Schultz is next. He's going to tell us what's new. We're going to go back and I'm going to go play that song, Night Song from Golden Boy, with Sammy Davis Jr. so that we can listen to that as we go along. Oftentimes Tracy lets our final song run in a little longer than we actually have right to. I guess you'll hear at least 2 minutes of it. Let me just see something. I think I did have the Golden Boy here. Yeah. Let's see if there's anything else it's based on Clifford Odette's book. What's the name of it? I've got to find it anyway. But
Clifford Odette.
Clifford Odette also wrote the book with William Gibson. The music is by Charles Strauss, who we all know from Annie, amongst other things.
Of course, definitely.
And I'm trying to remember the... Anyway, that's it. We're going to go. We're going to listen to it. You're going to enjoy it. I like the album cover art. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
Anyway, we will see you next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. In the meantime, enjoy the dulcet tones of Sammy Davis Jr. Bye, everybody.
Take care.
Bye.
Summer. Not a bit of breeze. Neon signs are shining through the tired trees. Lovers walking to and fro. Everyone has someone and a place to go. Listen.